Hello, this is Andre.
And Anita. We talk about parenting, love, and life skills.
Our family of six makes sure we always have something to share. The devil can play rock and roll,
can play music at all. Okay, you're gonna have to pretend the kids are sleeping right next us, like in this room or something.
Yeah, that's gonna work.
Not really. We're just saying that our microphone is kind of hypersensitive. Yeah, we're already recording. And yes, it's Anita and it's...
What was my name again?
What a brilliant start today.
I was wondering, why would you start like that? But
because it's more entertaining. It was something great. It was something different.
So we have a little trouble with an oversensitive microphone. And maybe the oversensitivity is spreading. Yes, no, maybe.
I don't know. Well, Shall I
treat you
touch you or something?
No, please don't.
Okay. Different topic. No, it's actually, it's not censored. Can kids listen?
I don't know. Can they? Maybe in America.
I don't know. Well, today we're going to talk about... the usage of words and how some words can be disconnecting words or connecting, how you can connect with little children or school-aged children or older children in a more positive manner.
So connect us, basically.
Yes, and since we are people of the word, loving words and communication, mm-hmm. I thought, this might be a good topic for us.
So you think that's a sensitive topic to some?
Sensible.
Sensible, not sensitive.
Sensitive? I don't know. Is it sensitive?
Microphone is spreading. I don't know.
Okay. And I thought we can actually start with something that was quite practical because you just had a conversation with our, let's say, the kid that's more sensitive when it comes to words and is more...
Or is he sensible?
No, sensible is vernünftig, right? I don't think that would be true.
No, would not
that
be.
Would not really resonate.
That's true.
So, sensitive is it is.
Mm-hmm. Sensitive.
What would you say? Like, how was your conversation with him? Did you enjoy it? Was it logical?
Logical. It was very Vulcan. Yes, indeed. Live long and prosper, he said to me after we finished our
conversation. You said with a whole lot of irony.
True that. That's basically a disconnecting word, right? Irony and sarcasm.
Well, we will find out.
But as far as the conversations went, I think there was an uptick or it went better than the earlier ones we had. Because there was no crying involved and there was no blaming involved. And it was an actual conversation.
Oh, yeah?
Where points were being made and solutions were being offered. Yes. On my part, solutions.
Yeah. And he accepted them? Yeah. Or really?
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, I'm astonished.
Yes. Well,
you're going to have to tell me about the results later. But yes.
If you project your will long enough on a tree, it will bend, you know?
You have watched Matrix too long. It was a spoon, not a tree.
Maybe there's no spoon.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
In my mind, it works like that, but...
Oh, I would love for it to work like that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the first... Now this list that we have found, mm-hmm. which we're going to connect down below...
Mm-hmm.
It just has some examples of sentences that you can use and that may or may not work. Mm. And the disconnecting words, for example, they are, you can read the first sentence.
Okay, this is the red area of the pamphlet.
Yes.
I start with the first sentence. Another toy game for your list. Huh? This is sarcasm, and it's a challenge,
sarcasm, yeah.
And it's sarcasm, right? And it's disconnecting words, because it creates...
You're not taking the wish seriously.
Yeah, the person you're talking to will go into defense mode, easily shut down. And Yeah, well, to stick to that example, this is because all the other sentences will work in a better way, but this would be the disconnecting, you will lose your child talking like that to them.
I actually have to admit, I don't really like the example.
Oh, well, if you jump to the next, let's stay on that sentence because this is how it's built up, you know? Mm-hmm. Connecting words for little kids. Same example with the toy. Oh, another toy. And this one has music, which is basically an observation. And little kids will go, yeah, that's great. And they connect, I guess.
And by the way, it's just for a list. So why not just add it and do something positive with it? I mean, the kid doesn't have to get everything, but you can at least observe it and approve of it in a way, as this is a legitimate wish that you can have. And later you can have the conversation about how many wishes you can have, like how many wishes you can fulfill.
So connecting words for school age kids would be, you have lots of wishes and ideas for this birthday or holiday. Again, an observation, which would suit kids for approximately 5 to 8.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the connecting words for older kids, like eight plus, I'm noticing you have a lot more interests these days. Mm-hmm. Actually, this would be kind of nice. Let me just, if we stick to the example, because like our older kids, they don't have these specific wishes that much anymore. Mm-hmm. They are spending more time with a computer right now. Mm-hmm. And maybe they have a wish like here and there for another edition of a game or a mod or whatever. Mm. But it's not that they're wishing for a certain toy or something.
Yeah.
So we would actually like welcome it. Mm-hmm. Welcome certain wishes. But actually, if you look at those other examples, they deal with the same kind of example. Mm. But they are challenging different emotions that you might invoke in your child.
Yep.
So the next example is, maybe you'll actually play with this one.
With the games. With the game, toys.
Like if you want to have something. Mm. So you're using shame and judgment.
And that's a bad thing. That's going to disconnect.
Yes, it's going to disconnect. And yeah, and of course it's just...
That's a hard one to refrain sometimes because we do this, we can do this, or we're prone to do this automatically at times. So we see certain behavior and we see continuous failing of that, and then we revert back to, well, sarcastic way. Yeah, that's not going to work out anyway. You're not going to play with it. It's just dumb, dope. In a way, you know, maybe not.
Yeah, but I don't feel like it's invoking shame or judgment in a sense. I mean, it's not like that they are feeling... Do you think they feel judged by it?
Depending on...
Like, we usually do it in a humorous way. Or, let me just stick to this example because, like, our daughter, she would ask for stuffed animals all the time. And then I would give her an example. Do you remember this toy and this toy and this toy? Mm-hmm. And how much are you still playing with it? And she actually thought about it. Like, she's old enough. Okay, now I'm going to have to say, like, this is 8 plus. Mm-hmm. We're just 8. Mm-hmm. She just turned 8. So she thought about it, and then she switched around her wishes.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, might not be the best wish. So that I have right now.
Maybe her age logic kicks in.
Isn't that brilliant?
And it's a relief to you, I guess.
Okay.
And suddenly I talk about Immanuel Kant with my daughter, right?
Well, our oldest, he was talking about some philosophical
questions. Yeah, we did.
This is great. I'm not kidding. I love it.
We did talk about Dear Immanuel, about Aufklärung is what?
The Enlightenment, isn't
Enlightenment,
it?
The
I
area
think it's
of,
the Enlightenment.
It's the period of Enlightenment.
Yeah.
And Friedrich the Great, or Friedrich der Große. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, there is absolutism, Louis XIV.
Louis XIV.
Yeah.
Oui.
I am the state, you know, mm-hmm. those guys. And just how different their point of view was and how different their perspective on how to rule a kingdom, an empire, or a country, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, me, I enjoy history a lot, but this was practical stuff.
Yeah, nice.
Do you think it works with top-down authority where everyone just dictates, or just one guy dictates how everyone should behave and should think? Or do you think it's important to give power to the people so that everyone gets more educated? You know, and that was kind of the
conversation.
Yeah, the mm-hmm. task in his history lessons as well.
Yeah.
And I did enjoy that, yeah. So we're starting to talk about those concepts, I guess, a little bit more.
Yeah, but this is something that we've started earlier. I mean, not like the historical ones, maybe, mm. but some philosophical ones.
Yeah.
And the ones that relate to practical everyday matters.
Mm.
And this is something I love. So, but when we go back to using guilt and shame, judgment and shame, maybe we're doing that sometimes.
So what I take away from the list we're seeing right now is if you shame or judge your kid, you're going to disconnect,
mm-hmm.
right? Or you lose connection.
And if you want to disconnect with your kid,
mm-hmm.
then you can use them.
Yeah, shame them and judge them a lot.
We'll give you some more ideas about how to do it.
Okay. The next one in the disc, well, we can go for little kids.
No, let's go for connecting words.
Yeah,
now.
For connecting words. So for little kids, you could say, you like musical toys. Show me how it works and what you like. And this would acknowledge his or her needs. I don't know. It's
but
it's a funny example in a way. But
I just think, because I think like the premise or what you're dealing with here right now is that you actually feel and think that another toy is not necessary. Right? The example, they're not dealing with, now you're going to have to be in a totally different situation where you approve of the I don't know, 1 millionth toy and you think it's a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just think if you try to be over enthusiastic now about it, even mm-hmm. though you're not.
Well,
that's kind of difficult.
Yeah, don't take away the conclusion right now, because we'll come to that in a second.
Okay.
So for school age kids, 5 to 8, you can acknowledge needs with this sentence: "Tell me more about this new one." Again, with the toy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And connecting words with older kids is, I know you have some similar games. It's not a toy, it's a game. Tell me what you like most about this.
Okay.
Again, this is an exchange of interests, you know, or that you are listening to your kid, which is always a good way to connect, is to ask them, what do you enjoy? What do you like? What is
it I like
that
this.
Makes you like this?
Yes. And actually, I like this sentence because it gives you a groundwork for a continuous conversation. Like if the kid is telling you about, I like this game because you have to exchange goods for something, or it's a game where many kids can play at the same time or whatever,
mm-hmm.
then you have the chance to go back and say, you know what, we have these games already,
mm-hmm.
and we really haven't tried them out yet. Maybe you want to try those first.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking about win-win situations.
Yeah.
You know, where the parent doesn't really have to bend down or have to act like he. Yeah, and then this way you have a way of finding a common solution that works for both.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go to the next sentence that is disconnecting.
Okay. You seem to think I'm made of money or something. That's a guilt. After shaming comes the guilt. Well, I don't know.
This is kind of weird.
It's maybe more an accusation.
Yeah, kind of. As if the kid is accusing the adult, or
it's a disconnecting word. It makes sense in that, I don't know. Yeah, maybe you hear those sentences a lot, and parents are not aware what this might invoke in your child. So be aware that a sentence like that is invoking guilt in some sort of.
And of course, the kid never would think that far. Do you ever think the kid is thinking, oh, my parents are made of money, or in that moment, they just have a need, they like something, mm-hmm. and that's it. And then the parent is saying something that doesn't have anything to do with the actual intention of the child. Mm-hmm. And so this can come up sometimes if you don't think about your words. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of have to be reminded of what this can put into the heart of your child, mm-hmm. and how they might be damaged by it or something.
So I think little kids would work better with a sentence like, looks like a fun toy, let's put it on the list for the next time, birthday, holiday.
That's our normal sentence. That's what we use
set
all the time.
Compassionate limits with a yes. That's in parentheses. Oh, I always get that wrong. Sorry. This is what we do. Yeah, whenever we go through a candy store, or we go through the normal supermarket, and then it's like, I want to have this and that, and then this and this and this and that. I say, you point at everything that you wish for, and we put it on the list. So the list by now would be, I don't know, 1,000 pages long, I guess, at some age of your kid or your child. But it works well. You recognize, you say, well, yeah, okay, you can wish for everything and you're not limited to anything. And we'll see what happens on your birthday.
Well, you can wish for everything, but you cannot have anything. You cannot have everything.
Yeah.
And this is something, I even showed it like on my smartphone one time. We have this Amazon wish list, mm-hmm. for each kid. Mm-hmm. And then you can put like almost anything on it. Like nowadays, there's even some features where you can like type in anything that you want, even though if it's not even there on Amazon, which is kind of rare, but most of the time you find something. And then at a certain point, she can look through the list and then eliminate whatever is not as important. Mm-hmm. And then at some stage, she's like comparing and saying like, do I want this more or this more or this more? Mm-hmm. And this is actually something that is great, like a teaching moment as mm-hmm. well. Now she has to find out and mm-hmm. put values on mm-hmm. those things.
Prioritize.
Knowing, yeah, mm-hmm. that she cannot have everything.
Mm-hmm. With that said, and Amazon is an example, I have to give you some kind of practical advice that can bring your family a lot of fun. We do have an Alexa. Mm-hmm. And our kids figured out how to put stuff on the wish list. Now, we don't order with Alexa. We don't do anything that is related. The button is turned off for precisely those reasons, that our kids go to Alexa and just set up a wish list. And it's a lot of fun listening to that, to all those wishes.
Because they're using it as a recording device.
Yes. Alexa, with her very feminine and, you know, touchy-feely voice, is just repeating all the funny stuff that our kids can come up with and putting it on the wish list. And this really made our faces hurt because of the laughter.
So that's
fun, practical advice. Aaron, whenever you hear this, this one's for you.
Yes, buy an Alexa and then buy some kids who can do this.
It's great fun.
It's great.
All around. Okay, so connecting words for school-aged kids. The positive example here is...
Third one, yeah.
Yeah, there is a lot on this list. You would have to trade something out. Do you think it is worth it? And this is exactly what you said earlier, what our daughter is doing. You set limits to giving choices. You know, you have to tell them, prioritize. Mm-hmm.
And connecting words for older kids. This one has a price of $200. If you think it is worth it, do you have a plan to save up for it? Set compassionate limits with a yes. Mm-hmm. Actually, I just watched some kids now, like mm-hmm. just recently, mm-hmm. and they were, I think... must have been like or second son's age, around that frame, whatever.
12.
And they were distributing newspapers, like putting newspapers into
those. Paperboy.
Paperboy, yeah. And I thought, like, because, like, all those other times, I haven't seen these young kids anymore. I mean, I feel like this is kind of rare nowadays, seeing kids at that age doing
it. Pays very poorly.
Yeah, but at that age, I mean,
still pays very poorly for the effort you put in. You could easier work in a factory.
At what age did you try it out? Like, what was your age?
14, 15.
Okay, that's quite old. I mean,
no, with the paper.
Yeah.
At 13.
13.
Yes.
Okay, because I started at 10, I think.
Yeah, but I didn't lack money. And for me, it was, wait a minute, I put 8 hours a week I put in to get like 10 euros. Are you kidding me?
Well, we didn't have any alternatives. Like, there was no...
Yeah. I can do whatever, you know. I can work for my grandparents or do something like that. That's way more worth my time. And then I started working at a factory. Just putting in, you know, a cord work, which is based on how many units of whatever you can produce, you know, and then it's all counted and you get paid for. And I got 15 euro per hour, or, well, 15 marks, so about 8 euro per hour back then. As a 15-year-old, that was like a gold mine. I was like, okay, I can do that just for a limited time, you know, and be happy with it.
Yeah, okay. We didn't have that many alternatives. Like, I was like a real village. I don't know, maybe I could have milked some cows or whatever. And I don't even know if they would have paid me. They would be like, oh, you're a neighbor girl, you do it for free, you know, that kind of thing.
Here comes a babysitting.
But yeah, well, I did that a few times, but I really didn't like it.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot of effort and you have to deal with the kids. No?
No, not even. I mean, would you have done babysitting?
No, never, ever.
Yeah.
No. Oh, well, I did it once and it was more of a please do it. And I said, well, okay.
Yeah, and I did it like when they already put the girls in and then I was allowed to watch TV in this little place and... It was just, the main thing was somebody has to be there.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be alone. And if something would come up, I would have the phone and would be able to call them.
Yeah.
But that's not something I enjoyed in a sense. Like, that was easy money in a sense, but not something that I would do on a regular basis. But that's not really the topic. So let's go to the last sentence that's disconnecting and you're going to read it.
Disconnecting. Now, for the final straw in how to disconnect from your child. No, you have enough. I'm not buying one more thing. You have to learn to be grateful for what you have. Don't ask me again. To put it my best word, that's not only judgment, but it's demand and it's threat, a threat, which equalizes to fear.
Okay, now I'm going to have to add something because the example that we're talking about, of course, it's something that I would feel is more like a negotiation issue in a sense, because you wouldn't say that your kid can never, ever have anything, right? Mm-hmm. This is something where you just have to find out like where the limit is, like how much the kid can actually wish for without causing you too much trouble and problems or money issues or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then there are so many other issues, like if, like our daughter... at dinner time, she was starting to put up her feet and push against the table. And that's something that's not okay. I mean, there is not, like, we had to give her a disconnecting answer in a sense, right? There was not like, oh, I understand you want to put up your feet and push them against the table. That's a nice idea. Put that on your wish. Like, there's not something where you would do the connecting way, the connecting route.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Connect your teeth to her leg and just bite down, you know, and say, well, that's a no.
You mean like in a fun way and
yeah,
like
in
make
a fun
her
way.
Smile
that's,
or something?
That's some sort of connection that I can come up with.
Yeah.
not in a hurtful way.
Well, we haven't done that. Like, no, we were disconnecting in that example, I'm just saying. With, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But there are certain rules where you have to disconnect your child from their actions because they are causing harm and they're having inappropriate behavior.
And they're non-negotiable.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. Maybe that's like the one of those preconditions or whatever, that you can look for connecting words whenever there is something there is where there's some room of negotiation.
Mm.
Yeah.
So connecting words for little kids. Yes, I know it's sad. It's okay to be sad about having it right now. And then in cursive letters, let your child be sad. You don't need to take it as a threat, nor do you need to stop the reaction. Practice with compassion builds tolerance. Okay.
Practice with compassion builds tolerance?
And it says in the little letters, acknowledge feelings with empathy, which equals to quality feedback. I am a bit confused about quality feedback from 0 to 4 year olds, to be honest. But, well, you get all the quality feedback from a 4 year old when you say it exactly like that, right?
Of course. They're like, oh, that's so great that my dad understands me being sad.
Yeah. Because now I don't feel the need to be sad anymore. And as a reflective 3-year-old that I am, I completely understand his point of view. And I'd like to apologize to making the inquiry in the first place. Sorry, Dad. Yeah. Well, the real world on the other side, you'll just have to deal with screaming and yelling and arguments. And, well, a no is a no. You can be understanding and you can say, well, yeah, that sucks. I'm sorry, dude, but we just put it on the list, okay? Which we never came to this last part because we said, yeah, we put it on the list. You can wish for everything.
Yes.
And that was, this was our way of dealing with most situations. We say, no, you cannot have it right now, but you can wish for it.
You know what? Actually, we did that.
That worked well for us, right?
But I can remember that we didn't do it like right at first because like our boys, they were not like that at all. Like I don't really remember them going through the toy store or whatever and wishing for everything. Like they might have had wishes, but it was dealt with quite quickly. Like we already had those lists in place. And this was not something they were discussing about very much. Like we told them, you know what, we put it on the list. Grandma knows about it. The other grandma knows about it as well. There's a high chance you're going to get it. Something like that. With our daughter, however, she is somebody who loves shopping. I mean, there's a stereotype, I think.
But somewhere maybe in there, which we don't mention.
Well, we're not going to talk about it too much. She is somebody who loves those pink things, you know,
dresses,
you go into the
teddy bears,
pink corner, whatever,
anything pink,
everything's great. I want this. Like she couldn't stop, and then we felt like having a discussion with her in those situations was merely impossible, and so we had to make up some ground rules before getting into the store.
Yeah,
and then we would tell her, you know what, we're gonna look at those things, you're gonna love a lot of it. But we cannot buy them, okay? But you can show us and we can make a picture of it and we can put it on the list. And then at some other point, you can tell us what is most important. But
the basic principle behind that is you say yes to your kids' wishes.
Yes.
And you don't have to say no at all. Well, after you set those certain ground rules, say you can wish for everything, but we're not going to buy anything today.
Yes.
Yeah, there's nothing going to be bought. But if you really fancy that, we put it on the list. And to her, I think her need was met that way.
Yeah.
And it was no issue because she went out and was like, yeah, I'm going to get everything. And the next day she was, you know, she forgot about all these things.
Most of the time, those things weren't that important.
And the really important thing she stuck to, it stuck to her mind. That's the one we maybe bought her for her birthday.
And another thing that was valuable to us is we knew she would love many, many, many things, but they weren't like real wishes. Because so many times they would change all the time. But if there was a wish that she would repeat several times, then we knew, okay, this is something that she would actually really want to have, like where she would really be happy about. And
what was our youngest? She wanted something really bad.
A guitar.
A guitar, yeah.
Yeah, and I bought one that was really crappy, I know.
Yeah, well, they're only for children.
Quite quickly. So,
children guitars. Is it broken already?
It's broken, like the strings are
broken. Yeah. But there are no quality guitar. You put in a 5-year-old hand and expect it to live long, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's what she got. But yeah, she was she enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah, she insisted on that and she repeated it several times. And you know what? Just the principle of not just buying your kid anything they want immediately. There is so much worth in that. And this is something like maybe it frustrated me earlier, like when I was young. I think you were somebody who actually got something sometimes.
Well, I was a single,
like your mom.
I was a single child. Yeah. And of course, I got spoiled big time.
And I can still see it in your behavior. Like if you want something, most of the time you just buy it. You don't think about it. You don't put it on a list first or whatever. You just buy it.
Yeah.
And I think...
I do.
In a different life, you would have been in the red zone with the money, you know? If you wouldn't have had a wife like you do.
I made a very informed choice of marrying you because I knew all my troubles hence would have been solved, you know? And I was right.
I really don't think that you put this into the equation, but I think it's a good thing that our kids have. That it's a good thing having...
Fiscal responsibilities.
No, but even sleeping about those kinds of decisions, not just buying everything immediately the second you want it. Because so many times it can change overnight even. And
true.
I still think it's good. So
okay. So for our connecting words for school aged kids, the last sentence is not sure. Let's rate these items. Are they useful? Fun? Will they last? Will they hold your interest? And this translates to a problem-solving inquiry. Again, it's equals to quality feedback.
May I just add, because like this is a good response, I think. Like, is this useful? Is it fun? Will it last? Those kind of questions are part of... like the advice some people get when they want to become kind of minimalists. They don't have to be minimalists that like that strongly, but whenever people are making the decisions of, I don't want to buy that much crap, like that much stuff anymore, you know? And they start purging on many items of their house. They then have to make a decision about how do I want to shop in the future? Because it doesn't make any sense to, you know, just buy stuff all
the
time.
Same with making a diet. You have to change your eating habit.
Exactly. And here, this is like something that you're already teaching your school kid how to make sensible decisions about buying stuff. Yeah. Like, will this be something fun for a long time?
You teach them to have healthy shopping habits.
But you know what? I'm just wondering... if it's really possible, if they haven't had any kind of bad decisions in the past, because somebody, like if you don't have any experience of having bought something that didn't last for a long time or that wasn't fun for a long time, you cannot make any reference to that, you know, because
well, they got it as a present. If they have to earn their whatever toy they want or the game they want, it's much more appreciated.
Okay, but still, even wishing for it, I mean, and I've had some conversations with our daughter where I told her about certain things, like in the dollar store, for example, and she wanted to have certain things. And I told her, you know what, this is the same quality as present X. Mm-hmm. And then she remembered, oh yeah, that's something that broke really quickly. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to discourage her from buying that crappy thing that's going to break in a few minutes, mm-hmm. you know? And also I could tell her about certain toys that were only attractive for a very short period of time.
Mm. Remember the plastic toys our boys got with the cars?
Oh, yeah.
Talking cars.
Yeah, yeah.
2-3 days max, and then...
And they were really expensive. Mm.
Those garbage truck stuff and everything, yeah.
Yeah. And this was something like we would never have bought them.
No.
Not even for Christmas. Like, we would not have bought them. At all.
Nope.
But your mom was like, oh, they liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They did fancy it when going through the store, said, well, that's looking nice. Well, bought. Okay. Again, coming from my experience, this is how it worked. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, your mom loves shopping. She loves buying stuff.
So maybe this is why we are such a good combination, you and I. Because I got spoiled way too much, and you got quite the opposite.
Surprise!
You know? Yeah. So us together, a good mix.
Kind of a normal person. You know, so, what? This is actually what Jordan Peterson talks about as well.
No,
well,
he does. Yeah, no, talk he says about...
like, no, he says like one of the values that lies in marriage is that two people come together, like one person is a horrible human being in a sense,
yeah,
the other person as well, but together they make kind of a normal, like a closely decent person.
So let it put me that way. Two broken people make one unbroken one, or more healthy one.
Yeah, more healthy one, because like iron sharpens iron, you know, from Proverbs.
So many metaphors out there. That
metaphors, I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Let me read the last one.
Are you sure?
Connecting words with older kids.
Mm-hmm.
There's a start. I have things you could do to earn some extra cash. You're giving them guidance with an offer to help. And that's quality feedback.
I don't get the quality feedback, to be honest. Not at all.
Well, you're...
Oh, hang on. I was expecting the kid is giving you quality feedback. Oh, no, I get it. I'm sorry. Wow. Man, I'm dumb tonight. But, yeah, that's quality feedback for your kid, and you don't get quality feedback from your kid. There we go.
Yeah.
It's that simple. So sometimes I take my time to understand things right. Okay.
Well, I'm glad it doesn't only happen to me. Mm-hmm. Let me just say that.
But again, this is what we talked about earlier as well. If the kid has to earn their own money or do something to get whatever they want,
yeah,
they'll appreciate it more.
They will.
Yeah.
Especially if it has been, like, earned the hard way.
Yeah. And you have to, well, come up with a good system that will help you so they can earn money at home. I think the here's your $20, whatever, every week is kind of, I think it's hindering your kids' understanding of how economy works and how the world works.
Well, it depends. I think it depends because I've had a friend in my class, by the way, and she got quite a lot of pocket money.
Mm.
Like, I was like, kind of jealous with her.
Mm.
But then I found out that she had to buy all of her clothes.
Mm.
And even if she has to buy, like, sometimes she had to buy stuff for school or... I don't think like travels, when there were trips or whatever that she had to pay, I think that was covered. But all the rest she had to pay on her own.
Yeah, that's a concept that you can do as well. I heard of that. I know about that concept. I just think what happens if your kid fails to spend the money correctly? Would you just tell them, well, that book for school that you need and you can afford it, bad luck.
Yeah.
And then what? You know, the consequences...
Quite dire, yeah.
Then you have to get yourself involved into all that. You say, well, I deduct it from your weekly payment and I'll pay you the school book, but we'll not get money for the next whatever days, weeks. And then I don't know, a trouser, the girl grows or the boy grows, I don't know, and he has to buy new clothes. This is a lot of management effort, I think.
I don't really remember how it worked in the long term. I just remember, and this is something like, well, I'm really wondering if this is something that's kind of genetic, because we can already see our kids are dealing with money in a very different manner.
That's true.
And that's without our intervenience. Mm. Like, we never like kind of encouraged the one kid to save up money far more than the other one. No, it's totally, you can really observe they're really, 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 really different.
Yeah.
Like, really the opposite.
Yeah, our second would save any cent he got.
Yes, he would.
Any cent. Without us telling
them. There are very few times where he would spend something. Yeah, but
if you give him 20 euros to go on a trip, he would come back with 18 euros. Let's say that.
Pretty much, yeah.
Our oldest, he would
spend it all.
Maybe come back with 2 euros.
Yeah, it's like the opposite. And therefore, I think, and then with my friend, like, who got this much money, I don't think she ever learned a good way how to deal with money, because like, she asked me for money all the time. And I was like, why is she asking for money all the time? Like, even at the time when we were working at McDonald's, you know, and we earned quite a bit because we worked a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We worked far more than was in any way recommended when doing like, schoolwork. Like, we did a whole lot of schoolwork and we did a whole lot of working.
Mm-hmm.
Far too much, by the way. And she got quite some money as well. And I was like, where is it going?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she had some other problems that she didn't tell me about. I don't know. But she was constantly asking me for money. And it was like, doesn't seem like she's dealing with it.
I think the system we got with earning points and maybe giving out money later on if they need it, but just earning something to get something, be it computer time, be it dollars or euros, or be it, I don't know, TV time, could even think about that. You know, whatever works for your family. I think just having to earn something, to get something, is a good way to show them this is how it works in real life as well.
Yeah, because rights usually are the responsibility of somebody else.
Rights,
if you have a right.
It's a privilege?
Or privilege, privilege.
Mm.
Usually it's the responsibility of somebody else.
Mm.
And therefore, it's a good way of finding out it's a good idea to earn it,
Mm. Also, you can give all sorts of tasks to your kids and reward them accordingly. Be it be nice to your sister, clean up this or that. You know,
I would rather root with, like, actually do something like that's
but you can
contributing.
Reward really good behavior like that as well. Like, our oldest, he did play really nicely with both of his little sisters, and he was pretty much a cool older brother that our girls really appreciated.
And you remember that this can backfire at times as well.
Of course.
This can only work with certain personalities.
Yes.
And it depends on like how your kid would react to it.
Sure.
Because usually it's better to just reward things where you just actually give them a task and then they have to do it. Like, if you reward good behavior, it sometimes can backfire.
Sure. Again, you have to do
Or if they're doing something that's... Mm. I've just heard about this. It was about rewards, but not rewards in a monetary sense, but rather that you would give somebody a reward, like a trophy or something, in front of many other people. And those were encouraging to the person, but sometimes not. Like, if pupils or students would get a reward for something that they would actually feel afterwards or at that time, that was actually something that should have been selbstverständlich,
taken for granted,
they would rather feel discouraged to continue in that fashion. Afterwards, they would decline with their attendance, for example, or with doing the homework. If they would get a reward for doing something that should have been taken for granted, it would backfire.
Mm.
And so this is something where you have to know your kid, know if it's really an incentive or if it's something that could actually be something that stops your kid of continuing their great behavior.
Now, coming from a new management perspective, that's the thing that we have to look out for as well.
There are
certain, like whenever you do a job in a bigger company, you have pretty much standardized description of what the job entitles, what you're supposed to do, and what is your exact area of expertise and work and whatnot. And if you perform in any of those areas to the full extent, you get like the normal grade. But if you go beyond that specification, let's say knowledge transfer, knowledge management, and you just share what you know with your colleagues or coworkers, that's expected behavior. But if, for example, you set up a knowledge database and you put all your knowledge in that so everyone can read on their own time and share, that's above expectations, and you have to grade it every year accordingly.
Oh, nice.
And this is an example I just take for them. You know, this is, if you want to score higher in that area, you have to do...
Over-deliver.
Yeah, over-deliver.
Yeah.
And if you just give them a better grade for saying, well, yeah, I see that you share and I grade you very well for it, they just go, well, this is my job description. Why? Mm-hmm. The same with the student, you know.
Yeah,
this is discouraging in a way. So you have to look out for those little things where you see people go beyond what is expected of them.
Yeah. And that's a subtle art.
It is.
I also think it's from person to person and can vary.
It does, definitely.
And how they receive it. Yeah. So, and money rewards, by the way, they worked less well than like appreciations that you would give out in a group. Like if you would give like a trophy or some kind of some other reward that's not monetary, but more like
symbolic,
like a certificate or whatever, you know, and it's in front of other people.
You
would acknowledge them in front of other people. Mm-hmm. That's something that works really well, especially if it's about things that went over and above expectations. Mm. So,
I'll have to look out for that one, to be honest, because I usually don't say that in front of all the people. I don't know, maybe it's not so much German culture to praise people for specific
things. I think it's nice.
It is nice, but I haven't considered it yet, but I'll definitely look out for that.
Consideration.
That's good advice. See, so I learned something from today's talk. Thank you very much, Anita.
Yeah, but you know what? I continue to learn from you as well now, because it feels like we can help each other, like also in our positions.
It's like two broken people become one healthy person.
So here is that for all those single people. Find somebody so you can be at least half a decent person.
You complete me.
Okay, this is too ridiculous right now. Thank you for listening.
Yeah,
thank you
very much, Aaron.
Aaron.
And have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.